action. Well, hey there, movie kings and queens. Welcome to this very special episode of the Real Gay Movie Show. It's episode 47, our tops and bottoms of the year.
Woot.
Yeah, and I'm your host, Mike Lovins. Joining me, as always, of course, is my wonderful co-host, Ryan Provost.
Hi, Mike.
Ryan, I don't have... We're not talking about a specific movie today, so I don't
talking
have
about
anything,
many specific movies.
I know, but I don't have anything to tie into for the intro, so...
That's fine.
It's a little more boring this week.
Well, that's
for
okay.
The intro, yeah.
Not the episode. The
not
episode
the episode.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, so our tops and bottoms of
it's
the
our
year.
First year review. We're not quite at a year of doing the podcast.
Very close though.
But we're closing out our first calendar year,
right,
of movies that we have seen and reviewed together.
Yeah, and we are just a couple weeks away though from our 1 year.
I know, isn't it crazy?
Couple episodes away from our 50th, which I think is amazing.
Yeah.
And then couple weeks later, our 1 year anniversary.
That's, yep. That's, and then the divorce.
And then the divorce.
Then we split things up and go our separate ways.
No.
We're
maybe
continue.
A trial separation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a given.
All right. So how are we going to do this? Why don't you go ahead and...
So, yes, for everyone listening, we are going to kind of recap... our thoughts on 2018 in film. So we've kind of split up into four things we're going to talk about. So first, we're going to mention briefly just a few movies we didn't get a chance to get around to seeing. So Mike has some he hasn't seen. Mm-hmm. I have some I haven't seen that we just feel like we wish we would have. Then we are going to talk about our most middle of the road movie of the year. So our most average kind of middle of the road, kind of the movie that every movie above that on our list is pretty good, and every movie below that list is bad. This is kind of the middle of the road movie for us. We're calling our verse movie.
Our
it's
verse
not a
movie.
Top, it's not a bottom, it's right there in the middle. Then we will talk about our bottoms of the year, which not to put a pejorative
no
spin
bottom
on bottoms.
Shaming
yeah
here.
Everyone loves a good bottom, but these bottoms are bottoms we do not enjoy. So our bottom 10 movies of the year, and then we'll finish. You always got to finish on a high note.
Finish on top
with our top 10 movies of the year. So we'll go through those, each of those four lists, and talk about a little bit, kind of recap. So if you're interested in knowing, maybe you're just listening and wanting to know what we thought of the year, looking for some good movies from this past year or movies you should avoid from this past year.
Right.
This is a good chance to hear our thoughts.
Yeah. And also, I guess for somebody who might be new to the show, who didn't catch some of the earlier reviews, might get to hear our thoughts on some of the movies from earlier in the year too.
Well, and we'll be talking probably about some movies we didn't get a chance to do a full review or
right.
any review
yep.
on. And so you'll get to hear some thoughts maybe you didn't get to hear in the episode that we did throughout the weeks.
And as special as this episode is, I'm not drinking White Claw. I'm not drinking beer. I cracked open a bottle of wine, Ryan.
Well, I kept it basic. I have my can of rosé, so
it's still classy.
It is
ish.
It's just the same. It gets me good and buzzed.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and start talking about some of the movies that we didn't get to see.
Yeah. So what are the movies that you didn't see that you feel like you should have seen this year?
There were four that I had on my list that
I also had four.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them is really just because it was released on Christmas Day, but nowhere here in Columbus.
Okay.
And that's On the Basis of Sex.
Okay.
So I think I saw that it's going to start playing here in town on January 9th, but I was really looking forward to that movie. That's the...
Well, maybe it'll be on your 2019 list.
It'll, yeah. That's kind of how Call Me By Your Name was.
Right.
because we didn't get it until the beginning of 2018, but it was technically a 2017 movie.
Sure.
But On the Basis of Sex is the biographical movie about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her coming up. So looking forward to that. Creed 2.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first one. I liked the Rocky movie, so I'm regretting that I haven't seen that one yet. And then the last two are ones that I've just heard a lot about and feel like I should check out. Eighth Grade.
Uh-huh.
The Hate U Give.
Yes.
So definitely plan on catching all four of those at some point. Just didn't get around to it this year.
Yeah, I feel the same way about all those movies except Creed 2. I really don't have any any desire to see that one. But the other three, I do want to see and have not seen as well. I have one I know you have seen. Two I think you have seen. And two that I don't think either of us have seen. So the two you have seen, I know you saw Upgrade.
Yes,
you loved it.
I did.
I still need to see it. And I keep hearing great things about it. So sad I haven't seen that one. And then Ideal Home.
Oh, yeah. That was cute. I like that.
So I feel like, and I've seen that it's on HBO, and it's one I keep scrolling past and I don't watch. I just need to watch that. It looks really good. It's got Paul Rudd and Steve Coogan as a gay couple. Yeah. I mean, come on. I've always pictured Paul Rudd
Absolutely.
In a gay couple with me. So, you know, why not? The other two, I don't think you've seen. So The Front Runner. The Hugh Jackman movie about Gary Hart and his, because I love political movies and I think Jason Reitman is a great director, although I didn't see Tully this year either, which is his other movie that came out this year. Have not seen that. Want to see it. Even though it has only had kind of mixed reviews and despite kind of being released in that award season way, just never really picked up the way that I think they probably thought it would. And then Three Identical Strangers.
I've heard so many good things about that
one. Yes, I have too. I feel like it's kind of the documentary that a lot of people are talking about from this year. And I love me a good documentary. So I just never got around to seeing it. It came out in the middle of the summer when we were busy with all of those big blockbusters that came out.
Right. And we had also kind of already taken care of a couple documentaries in our discussions. And
So just didn't get around to seeing it and really need to. I feel like a documentary is better to see just at home anyway. I feel like it plays better just in the house. I'll look for that one on demand soon.
Yeah. Well, good list.
Yeah.
So now I guess we're going to move on to our middle of the road versatile movie.
I think this is a really interesting, I see a lot of best and worst of the year lists. You never see someone post or talk about their most middle of the road movie.
That's just
not something people talk about, but here at the Real Game Movie Show, we are. So Mike, what is your verse movie of the year?
I went with Ready Player One.
Okay.
It's one of those movies where I feel like a lot of people liked it. There were certainly some people who didn't, but it wasn't really a divisive movie though. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like it came out, it was kind of a Hollywood, you know, the blockbuster kind of thing. But, I don't know. It was just, for I really enjoyed it. Not as much as I'd hoped I would. It's just kind of one of those movies where I kind of feel like it just kind of straddles that line.
Yeah. I mean, I was more negative on that movie and have been meaning to go back and revisit it, because I feel like maybe if I watch it again, I will appreciate it more.
I did like it better the second time around.
Because, I mean, it being a Spielberg movie based on a very popular book.
Book, yeah.
You would think that it would have translated better and been more of a hit. And it wasn't a hit when it came out. It did have pretty mixed reviews, which I think, and I mean, you saying it's even like that kind of most middle of the road movie. I mean, I don't think that's what it set out to be.
Right. Oh,
no
yeah.
movie does, but it certainly, I think, had much higher hopes that it would be incredibly more culturally relevant than it ended up being, which I think ultimately makes it a failure this year. But Yeah, I could see why it's a middle of the road movie. My middle of the road verse movie of the year, and it really is on my list of movies that I saw this year, which I'm at 65, I think now, 65, maybe 67, somewhere in there, that range. Every movie above it on my list, I enjoyed on some level.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie below it, I had some issues with. This movie is just right in the middle. I enjoyed it. Didn't love it. Didn't really have any issues with it.
Yeah.
Just, it was a good movie that I may or may not watch again. I don't know. It's good. And that is Book Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I thought Book Club was a very good middle of the road. Like, if you're better than Book Club, good for you.
Good for you.
If you're worse than Book Club, there were some issues with you. And so, yeah, that was the movie for me, was Book Club.
That's a good, I think that fits that category very well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So
now bottoms. We got to talk about those bottoms. Well, before we get into our 10, I know I have some, I guess I'll call them dishonorable mentions.
Dishonorable mentions. Yeah.
Do good. You have any dishonorable mentions?
I do. I'll go ahead and mention mine. I've got three of them. So, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Okay.
Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Okay.
And Aquaman.
Oh, wow. I thought you liked Aquaman.
I did, but when I'm going over all of the movies that we're talking, I mean, you know, we've talked about 50 or 60 movies. When 20 of those are going on this list for one way or another, you know, it was just like, I liked Aquaman enough, but everything else was I liked pretty much better. So,
okay.
But that's why it hits the honorable mention. Dishonorable mention.
Okay. Okay. Well, for me, my dishonorable mentions, Cloverfield Paradox.
Okay.
I
still hadn't seen that one.
Yeah. It's fine enough, but just it's. Fine enough to not be in the bottom 10, but it really does suck. Not good. It's bad. Strangers play at night. Pray at night.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Strangers Play at Night is the porn version of the movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, Strangers Pray at Night. It's a bad, it's very disappointing. It doesn't understand what made the first movie so good.
Gotcha.
And it turns the super realistic, creepy villains from the first movie into these almost like Jason, Freddy, Michael Myers, almost like the kind of invincible movie villains, which again, that's not what the original was about. And the original is one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
That was a good one,
which we talked about in our Fierce Five horror movies ever. Yeah. So it was really disappointing when I finally got around to seeing Strangers Play. I keep wanting to say Play at Night. It's because I'm thinking about
bottoms.
I
know what
bottoms.
You're going to watch when you get home.
Okay. And then I so badly wanted this one to be in my bottom 10. But another movie just squeaked it out. Like, I moved things around to make room for it in my bottom 10. But then I saw a movie towards the end of the year that just took it out for me, but it is Venom.
Okay.
I hate Venom. I hate it so much. I hate the song. Venom, I hated the portrayal of that character. I hated how much money it made, which means it's going to get a sequel. I hated that post-credit scene with Woody Harrelson, which makes me hate this idea of a sequel even more. And then one other movie I want to include. I actually liked the movie, but it was my worst movie-going experience of the year.
Okay.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh.
Just because that's the movie where a date left me halfway
that's
through.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, that deserves a spot.
Boo.
That deserves a spot.
Boo. So, yeah.
That movie
will
forever be tainted.
Yeah. Yes. So that's my dishonorable mentions.
All right. So moving on to our bottom 10.
Our bottom 10. Our least favorite movies of the year.
So. Starting off, my number 10 is Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, yep.
It was one of those where, like, I liked it well enough, but compared to, like, it definitely fell into that bottom spot.
Mike, I love how you're saying you liked these movies. I fully hate every movie in my bottom 10. Like, I hate them. And I hate Jurassic World.
That's the thing is, okay, so my hatred, comes pretty quickly. But my first two, I didn't hate.
Oh, I hated all 10 of mine. And I even, Jurassic World was close to my bottom 10, close to a dishonorable mention for me. That was bad. It was, Fallen Kingdom was a bad movie.
I'm surprised it wasn't on your list. So there were things that you hated even more.
Yes, it didn't make it on my bottom 10, which should tell you how bad my bottom 10
are.
So you're
saying you don't want a bottom Chris Pratt.
I mean,
gotcha.
That's the only thing that kept him out of it. So a theme among my bottom 10, definitely my bottom 5, but pretty much most of my bottom 10 is that they strive to be a certain type of movie. Uh-huh. Like they clearly, the creators of it saw movies that they thought were good in that particular genre and thought, ooh, let's do that. But they didn't get what made that good.
Gotcha.
I think that's true of Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. They looked at Jurassic Park movies before and thought, ooh, if we just do X, Y, and Z, it'll be great. And they didn't get what made some of the better Jurassic Park movies, specifically the first Jurassic Park and then Jurassic World.
First Jurassic World, 1,
work so well. And because of that, yeah, I hated that movie too. I'm on board with you there.
All right.
Well, except you didn't. You loved it, but just not as much as everything else.
Right. It's the bottom of my love. All right. What's your number 10?
So my number 10 is Night School.
Okay.
God.
That is my number 6.
Is it?
Yeah.
So, okay, good. Because I just, it's not funny. It isn't. And I don't find Kevin Hart funny at all. And like we talked about in the episode where we had to talk about this stupid movie, you know, I love Tiffany Haddish. I think she is very funny, but she is just there in this movie. Like, this is really just a spotlight of Kevin Hart. It's not a Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart movie. It's a Kevin Hart movie. And Tiffany Haddish has this role that could have been played by anyone. They don't use any of her skills, talents, or abilities at all in this movie. And that makes it even worse than it would have been anyway.
Yeah.
Like at best, this movie could have been, well, I don't like Kevin Hart, but Tiffany Haddish is so funny and she's so good in it. So that makes it almost redeemable, but they don't even give it that.
You know, what's funny is thinking about the movies that we didn't see this year. I completely forgot about that other Tiffany Haddish movie.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
And that was one that I wanted to see.
Although it's not good on the Rotten Tomatoes either.
Well,
I feel like I think it's in the 20s on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Then that'll be a Netflixer.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, Night School, I agree. Like I said, it was farther down on my list, so.
Yeah, so okay. Well, let's keep moving down our list. So, what was your number 9?
The Predator.
Okay.
it's another one where I liked it well enough.
Yeah, you liked it a lot.
But
Mike loves everything.
I thought this was a pretty good year for movies. And I think some of those popcorny kind of movies, maybe like emphasis on the corny.
Yes.
more so, but there again, putting that together, this list, I'm like, there's no way that it's better than some of the movies that, and some of these too. I mean, I kind of went by what reels I gave them.
I know you gave every movie 3.5 or 4 reels. So it really is. Mike's such a nice Midwesterner. Like, I'm throwing a lot of hate, a lot of shade today for my bottom 10. Mike is like giving them, well, they tried real hard. There were things I liked about it.
We can't all be assholes, Ryan.
Well, I can.
And with that, then, what's your number 9?
Which brings me into my number 9. A movie that wanted to be one of those fun popcorn movies, but I thought really missed the mark. I thought it had so much potential to be a really fun, over-the-top popcorn movie, but I think it just took itself a little too seriously. And for me, that was The Meg.
Okay.
It just didn't live up to the potential. Like, it wanted to be bigger Jaws. And I think if you're going to do that, you got to like really go for it. And I think going for the PG-13 rating instead of the R rating held them back from what could have been some fun scenes.
Yeah. I mean, nobody really died.
Right. Like they just didn't go for it enough.
Yeah.
And it should have been a lot more campy than it was. I mean, it didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
And ultimately that made it kind of boring, to be honest. And no movie about a giant shark should be boring.
Right. A giant prehistoric shark.
Right.
Yeah. That's why it made my number 7.
Okay.
We're going to get through this list quick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, do you have any thoughts on why it was your number 7?
Just pretty much the same thing you said. I definitely had higher hopes for that movie than, when they were first kind of doing the advertising for that movie, it was really getting pumped up. You know what I mean? It was just like,
it had a great trailer. Yeah. I liked the trailer a lot.
And for as many trailers as we've had to sit through and yawn through.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good trailer. I thought the marketing was good for it. So, unfortunately, though, that heightens the disappointment when you come out of it.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
So, all right. So then my number 8.
Your number 8.
Just coincidentally is Ocean's 8.
Oh, okay. Did you do that on purpose?
I didn't. I just noticed that.
Okay. Well, tell me how much you love this movie.
I mean, it was cool. It was fun. No, this is another one that I think that, it's trying to build itself off of such a successful franchise.
Yeah.
And it was just too much of a gimmick. You know, it could have been so much more, but, you know, just doing the female version of Ocean's 11, it just felt too gimmicky. And the reason why it's 8 and not 2 or whatever is because I think that there was a better movie hidden in there somewhere.
The potential for that movie, yes, was super high. And it's not in my bottom 10, but I felt similarly that the heist wasn't good.
Yeah.
The heist itself wasn't good. The way they used the characters, especially when, like Awkwafina's in this movie. And then we saw her used perfectly in Crazy Rich Asians later in the year. And it's like, why couldn't you bring this person out in Ocean's 8? Like, I feel the same way about almost every actress in Ocean's 8. Like, you didn't even bring out the best of that person.
I love Sandra Bullock. I know how much you love Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
Just a waste of talent.
Complete waste of talent. Whereas I feel like what the Ocean's movies do, the George Clooney iteration, they maximize everyone in those movies. They really, I mean, obviously George Clooney, Brad Pitt are on that high level anyway, but even the smaller characters.
Well, like even back then you had a younger Matt Damon, and Bernie Mac I thought was so great in
they
that.
They elevated everyone. Yeah. Whereas this movie really, I feel like just didn't bring any of the characters or actresses up. And that was really disappointing because I thought it was a really great premise and I was very much looking forward to it. And I do want them to make a sequel because I think that they can learn the lessons from that. I think they have something there. They just didn't do it with this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What is your number 8?
I hate Aquaman so much.
I knew it was going to be in here.
That's what bumped Venom out for me was Aquaman. Because Venom was sitting there at number 10 and I was sure it was going to end up there. But then I saw Aquaman. And I hate Aquaman. I hate it. It was bad. I just can't get past. There's lots of things you can get past. But when the hero of the movie is super annoying to you, you can't, there's no getting past that. I mean, they want to use him to be one of the pillars of this entire cinematic universe. And that bugs me so. And it's made, again, this movie has made a lot of money just like Venom. And
it's now the highest grossing of the DCEU. It's surpassed Wonder Woman now.
That's
too.
A shame. That's terrible. So,
I mean, I definitely thought that, we talked about it. I thought that this was a better use of Aquaman than he was in Justice League. I still think that there's potential there for that character, but
and that's the thing. Whereas we were talking about Ocean's 8, I think there's a lot of potential for those characters. I think you can bring them back for another movie and learn the lessons, but they've built a character with Jason Momoa and this Aquaman where I don't care who you get to make the movie. This character cannot work. He's a terrible character. There's nothing good about him. And I hate that. And I hate this movie. And I never want to see it again.
All right. In other words, you didn't like it.
I know. That is the theme of all the movies I'm going to mention. So, number seven.
So, my 7 and 8 are already gone. So,
oh, that's right. So, what was your 7 again?
7 was The Meg, and 8 okay. was, or in 6 was Night School. So.
Okay, cool. So we'll talk about my 7 and 6 then, yeah. I guess. Okay. So 7 for me, I don't think you saw this one. Unfriended Dark Web.
I didn't.
Okay. Did you ever see the original Unfriended?
For some reason, I think I did.
Okay. I mean,
it wasn't that memorable to me, apparently.
Neither of them are. Okay. But the first Unfriended is kind of good. It's in a bad way. Like, it's fine. It's watchable.
But see, it's filmed in that same way that, like, that kind of bothered me about Searching.
But see, Searching is the better version of this. Yeah. Like, Searching, I really liked. I thought it was good. I think they took this concept of basically filming everything through a computer, through technology, and maximized that. Whereas Unfriended Dark Web, I feel like was really lazy and I hate boring. For it being a movie about all these people getting killed in these weird ways, like, it was very boring. And I love horror movies. And I love horror movies that are really serious and scary, and that's what energizes you about them.
Yeah.
But I also love a campy movie that's stupid and campy and fun. Like, I enjoy that too. And the horror movies I hate are the ones that are neither.
Yeah.
The ones that are not funny, not campy, not so out there that they're outrageous, and not scary. And that's what I feel about Unfriended Dark Web. Is it's just neither, and that bugs me.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It really is. Don't watch it. I wouldn't even recommend the first one, to be honest with you, even though I like it a good bit more. But yeah, not good. So we covered your 6.
Yep.
Which was
Night School.
My 6, a movie I was looking forward to, one of my favorite actresses,
Mary Poppins Returns.
No. One of my favorite actresses, I think she should be nominated for an Oscar this year, but not for this movie. And that's Happy Time Murders.
Okay.
With Melissa McCarthy. That movie, such a train wreck. Like, if you want to see the best version of this movie, watch the trailer. You'll see the only good parts and you'll be done with it.
Right.
Melissa McCarthy is phoning it in. You can tell she doesn't want to be there. You can tell she doesn't want to be in this movie. It's so terrible.
I felt like the puppets were phoning it in.
Yeah, even the puppets. But that's what's bad, is the puppets had more expressions in their faces than Melissa McCarthy did in this movie. Like, it just was so terrible. And
this is another one where the concept of it puts you on such a high going into it that when you come out seeing what you saw makes it that much worse.
Yeah. I mean, it was a concept, but with no jokes.
Yeah.
And with no, they didn't deliver the funny, the whole, it was just hey, these puppets are going to say bad words.
Right. this puppet is ejaculating all over the room.
I mean, that part was funny, but I needed more of the silly stuff like that.
But unfortunately, that was like in the trailer.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you see the trailer, you only funny part of the movie. Like, they didn't do enough other things. It was just, these puppets are raunchy and that's it. Like, they didn't go anywhere with that premise. They thought the premise alone was good enough, and it wasn't. You got to have that with some sort of like meta commentary or something that like ties this all together. It can't just exist for the sake of existing.
Yeah. Well,
was it on your list?
It was my number one.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was your worst movie of the year.
That was my worst movie of the year.
I don't blame you. Yeah. It's bad. It's real bad.
Yeah. The more I think about that movie, the more it puts a sour taste in my mouth.
See, I just don't think about it. I just don't think about it at all. That's how I get through the day.
Yeah, there you go.
It's that bad. I don't. I can't say I fault you for that being your number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think then after seeing Melissa McCarthy excel in Can You Ever Forgive Me, it made Happy Time Murders
even worse. Yeah.
So on to my number five then.
Yeah, let's get into number five.
All right.
This is the real, for me at least, my five are like even different level. Like, and I hated these first five I talked about. These next five, I don't know about you, but I abhor them.
So. I have a feeling we might have a couple more in common now down here.
Oh, I know we do.
Yeah.
I know. Just knowing what we've talked about, I know we do.
Yeah. All right. So number five, A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah. Okay. That was actually my number one.
Was it? Okay.
Yes. So let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Again, such a great cast.
Yeah.
So underused. I mean, how do you have Oprah Winfrey in this movie and it still be so bad? I don't know. And I think,
so I saw recently that, so Oprah apparently has been, she really is pushing for Black Panther to get a lot of awards love.
Yeah.
Like, she's been actively campaigning, doing like screeners of the movie lately to
make people forget about A Wrinkle in Time.
That's what I'm thinking. I think it's a dual purpose.
Could be.
To be like, look how great this movie was. There was no movie that I was in around that same time of year. Don't look behind the curtain.
Right. Don't look behind.
It was only Black Panther. I don't think any other movie came out in the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah. But there again, I mean, and even like in the director that they chose, Ava DuVernay, I mean, I expected so much more from everybody involved in this movie. Being from Disney, being the source material. I mean, I never read it, but you know, it's just like, it's a timeless classic apparently.
Sure.
But it's starting to make me think, does Mindy Kaling really have a movie career? I mean, think about Ocean's 8 and this movie. Like, I haven't seen her really in a movie.
I think she can. I'm not gonna, just because she's in two bad movies this year, write her off completely. She is not the reason this movie is bad. She contributes to the badness. But the reason it's number one for me is just what you said. It has so much talent, potential, money, resources, like literally everything a movie could have to make it good. This movie had a great director, a solid cast based on a piece of work that people love. Again, I have not read it either, but a bunch of people love A Wrinkle in Time and couldn't make it work.
Yeah.
Really? Not only couldn't make it work, but made it actively terrible.
Right.
Every decision made with this movie made it worse. The screenplay is terrible. The visuals are weird and awful.
Yeah, bad CGI.
The plot does not flow in any discernible manner that makes any sense.
That's what makes me think that, like, the book probably has a lot of, like, internal dialogue and stuff like that. That
helps explain things?
Yeah, that you can't
But you have to find a way to translate that.
Right. I mean, and if you can't, you get this.
If you can't, don't make the movie.
Yeah.
And maybe A Wrinkle in Time just isn't filmable. Like, maybe it's just, it works as a book.
We'll find out in 10 years, but when another studio does it.
It just, the fact that it had so much talent behind it that I believe in and root for,
yeah,
and failed this miserably, pisses me off. That's what separates it from the other movies I hated this year and makes it number one for me, is you should have worked. You should have been good.
That's what makes it a movie I genuinely hated and not just didn't like as much as the other movies.
Right. Like, but yeah, that's why it's my number one. I just, like, that makes me so mad that it was that bad with that much talent supporting it.
Right.
Talent and money supporting it. Oh.
So what's your number five?
My number five is The Nun.
Okay.
Which, insert everything I said about Unfriended Dark Web. Like, it's boring. It's not scary. It's not campy. It's
super predictable.
It's very, it just follows those horror movie tropes. It relies almost exclusively on jump scares.
Yeah.
And then when you actually see the nun reveal towards the end of the movie, like, she looked insanely terribly CGI bad.
Right. And yeah, not, again, not scary.
No, just bad. Yeah. Like, she was designed on a Windows 95 XP. it was terrible.
The Nun was my number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah. All right. So number four, Red Sparrow.
It was also my number four.
Hey, okay. Yeah,
the very first movie we ever did a show on.
We got off to a bang.
Damn
huh?
it. Well, wasn't it Red Sparrow and then A Wrinkle in Time?
Yes.
The first two movies. Man, what a shit show.
I can't believe people stuck around after those two.
I can't believe I stuck around after those two. I'm surprised we didn't both just look at each other and be like, this is a sign. We shouldn't do this.
Right.
This is bad.
The movie review gods are not smiling on us. Since Red Sparrow, has Jennifer Lawrence put out anything else this year? Was Mother after that?
No, Mother was last year.
Okay.
Mother was my least favorite movie last year.
That's right. Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence is doing bad things.
Yeah.
She made my least favorite movie of 2017 and my fourth least favorite movie right. of 2018. I guess that's improvement.
Yeah.
Technically.
But, and then next year when she shows up in, well, I guess this year, when she shows up in Dark Phoenix.
Ugh. Man, what a world.
What a world.
What a life.
Yeah. Not in love.
Man, that movie, Red Sparrow, let's just focus on Red Sparrow for a minute.
Back to that one.
It's super boring. The pacing is terrible. The connection that's supposed to be between Jennifer Lawrence and who was the actor? No one cares. It's terrible. Like, there's
Joel Edgerton.
Was it Joel Edgerton?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
From Boy Erased.
Yes.
Wow. He actually, like, improved through the year. Whereas she just put that out there and went away. No chemistry between the two of them at all. The only thing about that movie I remember enjoying was the, like, training scenes where they were teaching them how to be spies.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to be a whole movie.
And there wasn't enough of that.
No. They flew right past it and I was like, wait, but I liked that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that more?
There was penis in those scenes.
Oh, there was. That's why it's number four and not,
right,
number,
and not
one.
Number one.
Okay, so we had the same number four. So what was your number three?
My number three was The Nun.
Okay, yeah, we talked about that. Okay, I'm really excited to talk about my number three. Okay. I don't know if you ever saw it, but I alluded to it. We talked. I said, there's a movie in my bottom 10 that I haven't told you that I've seen yet, that I finally did see. I just saw it a couple weeks ago. I was scrolling through, all the apps and things I have on my TV. and I saw this movie and I was like, you know what? I should watch this movie. I'm in the mood to hate watch something. Because I heard so many negative things about it. And I just was, my heart and soul were ready. And it did not disappoint.
And that's in the fact that it disappointed.
Right. And that's Gaudi.
Oh, no.
I watched the epic train wreck that is Gaudi. And I didn't even make it through the whole thing, Mike. But
the MoviePass killer. Right.
It's deliciously terrible. Oh, I mean,
I'm gonna take your word for it because I am not watching
it's so bad I almost liked it. Like,
like, can you turn a drinking game out of
like, if only it had been self-aware enough to know it was bad.
Yeah,
it could have been good. Like, it could have been a parody. Like,
yeah,
it almost is so bad it plays as a parody of mob movies, but it thinks it's good, and that's what makes it so bad. Like,
it's funny because I saw that, I didn't see the movie, but I saw that it was on somebody else's bottom 10 list of the year.
Yeah,
and I was like, I'm so glad we didn't see that.
Well, we didn't. I did. And I mean, John Travolta, man, he is chewing up so much scenery. And the best part about the movie, the most confusing part that really makes your brain hurt, where you're like, nobody in their right mind would think like this. There's a part where John, I don't even need to say spoiler alert. If you saw this movie, may God have mercy on your soul. But there's a part. So John Travolta, one of his kids dies in the movie, and he's a younger kid when he dies. And John Travolta, when he's talking about it, goes, he was something along the lines of, he wasn't even old enough to use his prick yet. Like, when your kid dies, who thinks in terms of whether or not they've masturbated yet? Like, he didn't even to masturbate.
Yeah, well, shit. I mean, who knows? Maybe Gaudi actually said that.
But, like, that makes no sense. Like, you see that and you're like, why did your mind go there? Like, you were thinking about all the masturbation your kid's not going to get to do. Like, oh, too bad he died. Like,
didn't even get to use his prick.
Something along the, it probably wasn't that. I was very, I had a few cans of wine in me that night. But yeah, it was just that level of bad. The entire thing.
Wow. Oof,
yeah.
Wow.
Gaudi, man.
Gaudi damn.
Gaudi damn it. Yep.
All right. So we're on to number two.
We're
so
on our number twos.
My number two is Skyscraper.
Okay. Wow.
So Skyscraper, The Nun, and Happy Time Murders were the only three that I gave below a two reels on.
Yeah, you didn't like to give those out much.
I didn't, and this one certainly deserved it.
Okay.
I can't even say that this movie had so much potential behind it. I just feel like The Rock is right now in a stage in his career where he's just churning them out no matter what they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're lucky enough to get like the Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
Right.
And then sometimes you get Skyscraper.
Yeah.
And that it was just bad.
Well, I saw a trailer for there's some wrestling movie coming out next year. Did you see that trailer?
Yes, and I actually am interested in that.
Me too. I think it looks kind of good.
And it's actually produced by WWE Films.
Right.
So, like,
I think that could be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that one.
And Nick Frost is in it. I love Nick Frost.
But I say that to say, The Rock, he is very hit and miss. He'll put out utter garbage.
Yeah.
And then he'll put out something that's like, oftentimes, like, wow, I'm shocked that I like that. Like, yeah. I felt that way about Jumanji, you know?
Right.
That was good.
Yeah.
I did not think it would be.
Kevin Hart was in it too, even.
Right. So, oh my God. Yeah. That's the only Kevin Hart thing. But yeah, I did not like Skyscraper either, but it did not quite make my bottom 10.
Your number two.
Yeah. My number two.
Your deuce.
My deuce. Drop a deuce. I don't think you saw this one either. The Spy Who Dumped Me.
No, I didn't. You put a movie called Dump in number two.
Yep. And it was.
And
one.
It was, huh?
Yeah. It has Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon, I love her on SNL. She is so good on SNL. Yeah. She's really kind of like the star of SNL right now. If you were to rank like the SNL cast right now, I think she would be at the top. But her movie choices have been bad. I mean, she was in that terrible Ghostbusters remake. And then
she was. Yeah.
And then she was in this and it was. Well, it was a rough watch. It didn't make any sense at all. The characters didn't really seem to have much motivation. I can't even tell you like anything that happened in the movie. I just remember
just that forgettable, huh?
Hating it. Not, I wish it was forgettable. If it were forgettable, at least I could excuse it for not having a negative impression on me.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I very distinctively remember hating this movie, but I can't tell you anything about it, which should tell you how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It just didn't make any sense. The performances were terrible. And I just was confused when I left. I was like, how did this even get made? I don't get it. It didn't seem like, it seemed like they had 24 hours to make a movie and there was a 14-year-old in charge of it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just so bad. So yeah, that was my number two. I think we talked about both of our number ones already.
Yeah, we did.
So what was yours again?
Happy Time Murders.
And mine was, A Wrinkle in Time.
Right.
So that's our bottom 10.
That's our bottoms. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
something I will never say in my life again. I am done with bottoms. No more bottoms for me. Let's move on to the tops.
But are you done with bottoming?
Ask my doctor. Okay. Let's move on to our tops.
Okay.
Let's get on to the good stuff.
All right. So, top 10 then. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. Do you want me to lead with mine?
Yeah, we'll let you go first for the tops.
Okay. How kind of you. So
I'll take the seconds.
I have five that I'll mention just because there are some movies I really like that I hated having to leave out.
Yeah.
So I know everyone is losing their shit over Won't You Be My Neighbor. I am like the only person in the world who did not like that movie and much preferred another documentary this year, which was RBG. I love RBG. I thought it was great. I thought it was very timely for the time we're living in. So RBG, Boy Erased.
Okay.
Beautiful movie. But that kind of movie that you watch once, you never want to watch again. So Boy Erased is there. Beautiful Boy.
Yeah, which similar, I still haven't seen.
Yeah, similar to Boy Erased. Like very, very good. Very well acted. I don't ever want to see it again. Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh, wow. Really?
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It just wasn't quite good enough to make it into that best of the year. But
yeah.
But I did love it. And I feel the same way about The Favorite. Loved it. Loved the cast. Loved the screenplay. Some delicious dialogue. I will still use "He was cunt struck by you" in my day-to-day language.
I ended up telling my ex-wife about that line because she loves that word.
Yeah.
And I knew she would appreciate that.
Struck?
Cunt struck. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I'm joking. Uh-huh. Anyway, but those are my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Honorable spelt with an O-U-R.
Right.
Just like The Favorite.
The Favorite. So while I was putting together my list, I purposely left out documentaries regardless of what I rated them, just
because you hate documentaries. That's fine,
right? So
Mike likes to live in a fantasy world. It's okay.
Duh. So first on my honorable mentions was Tully.
Okay.
You
still haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen that.
Yep.
Yeah, I've only seen it once, but I'm dying to see it again. That movie really stuck with me. So I can't wait to see that again, but, yeah, anyway, so it's good for honorable mention.
Sweet.
The second one is another one that I don't think you've seen yet. But Christopher Robin.
Nope, haven't seen that one.
Yeah. That was one that was on my most anticipated list.
Yep.
Loved it. So this is my only four reel one that didn't actually make my top 10 list. It just made my honorable mentions, but Incredibles 2.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I am perplexed. Tell me more.
It's just so, you know, I came out of that movie just enamored by it and wasn't sure how I felt about that one versus the first one. But as time has kind of gone by and I let it sink in, and like, it's still a very good movie and I still loved it. But after seeing some other movies this year, it the chord it struck didn't quite stay with me as strong as it did at the time that we were reviewing it.
Yes.
So,
I do think that it's good. It's solid, but it doesn't bring anything to the table that you didn't get from the first Incredibles.
Right.
And I think that's where it falls short. Like it doesn't need to exist.
Yeah. In some ways, seeing Spider-Verse and seeing like what a superhero movie in an animated form could be, a new and original.
Yes.
Kind of actually
lessened
yeah. a little bit what I thought about Incredibles.
Same. Yeah.
Deadpool 2.
Okay.
And then just because a Star Wars movie did come out this year, but it just wasn't good enough to be in my actual top 10.
Oh, my God.
I'm throwing Solo into my honorable mention. I see your
heart breaking.
It really is. It hurts. Oh, my God. It hurts. and it was even a last minute throw in, to be honest with you.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
I just wanted to be able to say poor Solo.
Oh, do we need Star to have Wars. A moment?
Can we?
Where's the Kleenex?
Oh, they're all wrinkled up under the
poor
bed.
Mike. Oh, God.
All right. So let's go ahead now and get into our tops.
Well, they usually like to get into you, but
that's
we'll
true.
Get into them this time. Okay. So tops. So top 10. My 10th movie. I'll say this before I tell you what the movie was. It was slipping in my list.
Okay.
I kept putting things in my letterbox, which is the app that you and I both use.
Yeah.
And I've used it to rank movies as we've gone through the year. And I kept sliding things above this movie. And then as we're getting close to the end of the year, I kept thinking about this movie. I watched it again. It recently got put on Netflix and I watched it and I was like, no, this movie shouldn't work. It should not work. It should be impossible to make. It should be too bloated. It should be too much. And it isn't. It works so well. The pacing is perfect. And it works in a way that it absolutely should not. And it's Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
It is an impossibly difficult movie to make.
Yeah.
And it was made, I think, as good as it could be. And I said it when we reviewed it. I think the difficulty level for this movie is so freaking high.
Yeah.
Because you have to do about 20 characters justice. You got to give them enough screen time
to feel relevant.
Right. And to not just feel shoved into the movie.
Right.
I mean, a criticism commonly of superhero movies is that they try to cram in too many characters and it just doesn't work. The fact that they crammed in more characters than probably any superhero movie ever, and it does work, is such a testament. And
right. Major
I
achievement.
I feel like it would have been an injustice to leave this movie off of my top 10. So that's why I moved it back up, and it's number 10 for me.
Well, it's in my list, too.
Yeah? Where is it at?
It's number 2.
Number 2?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it would be pretty high on
yeah,
yours.
I mean, that's my wheelhouse.
Yes.
You know, very, very much so.
So it's your number 2.
Yeah.
Take the floor. Talk about it.
Yeah. Well, so right now it's my number 2. What I'm really holding on to is my hope that the follow-up, the next Avengers movie,
yes,
is spectacular, because if it doesn't work, it could quickly make this one seem like shit, because they have to, I really feel like they have to work
as like one big movie,
Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a great first act with a...
But nothing about what has come before makes me anything but completely confident that Endgame is
coming. I agree. Yeah. It's just, yeah, there is that fear there. But for what we were given this time around, echoing just about everything you said, the ability to put that many characters into the movie and feel invested in pretty much all of them, the special effects that they achieved in this movie are just,
oh, it's perfect.
Amazing. And to have the ballsiness of, you know, ending a movie on such a cliffhanger,
which I did not see coming. I did not think that the snapping would happen.
Yeah.
And
I thought that would be a part of the next movie.
I did
or whatever.
So when it did come, it did pack a punch.
Yeah.
Even though immediately after I was like, oh, this isn't permanent.
Yeah.
But
it's still, and
the,
like,
visual of it happening was very huge.
Right. And, something about the musical cues and, like, you know, spoiler if you haven't seen Avengers, but when Spider-Man starts, you know, just the Mr. Stark, I don't feel so, you know, it's just like, oh,
yeah,
my heart. So yeah, just all of that combined, just, I just loved it.
Yep. Although you said spoiler alert. And then all you said after that was when Spider-Man starts, oh, Mr. Stark. Just to clarify, if you've not seen Avengers, Tony Stark does not fuck an underage boy. That's not what happens
in this version.
The boy dies physically, not emotionally, right, from being raped by an older, wealthy man.
Okay.
Yeah, I went down that road.
Yeah, you did.
So you're number 10, Mike.
My number 10 is Annihilation.
Yeah, okay.
Did you ever end up seeing that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. About it. That's right. I ended up recently watching it again.
Okay.
And that's what kind of solidified it being on this list. I thought that movie was just so good. And, you know, I'm sure we talked about this then too, but like I thought Ex Machina was good.
Yeah.
And I really felt like this one, the director, it took his storytelling to another level, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked Annihilation a lot. I prefer Ex Machina because I kind of liked the smaller, more confined,
sure,
story. Yeah. Because I do appreciate those really small sci-fi movies, mm-hmm, where it doesn't feel like the whole world is at stake. And this one does take it to that level a little bit more. And for that, I knock it down a little bit. But it is. It's really good. Another movie that had great trailers.
Yeah. Actually, though, I started getting annoyed with the trailers because of the sound effect that they would use,
yeah,
every single time.
I get that.
You know, but like this movie and Ex Machina both use, like, you know, actors in Star Wars. So that's enough to, like, get me to,
oh,
to watch,
God,
it in the first place. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, my number 9 is, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a late addition for me, but man, this is such a fun movie. It's so innovative. It's got that Lord and Miller flair,
yeah,
where they are willing to experiment and have fun. And again, I can't help but say it, like, that's what Solo was missing. And that's why it's a very middle of the road movie for me this year, is because it didn't have that creativity. It was a very paint by numbers story. And what Lord and Miller do so well is take something that a lot of people are familiar with, but do it in a fun, innovative, very self-aware way, mm-hmm, to where even comic book geeks who are very like, well, that's not how it happens in the comics, can suspend their, you know, can suspend that and enjoy themselves.
Sure.
And I love that about this movie. It is fun. It is fresh. It's new, but it's about a character that we've seen how many film iterations of,
right,
that still feels fresh and fun,
yeah,
and has a burst of energy. I love it.
Yeah. It's my number 3.
Again, I figured it was pretty high on yours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was one of my four reels this year. Yeah, just the unique animation style.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of talked about the music a little bit when we reviewed it. Like, it's not necessarily a soundtrack that I would just put on and listen to, but in the context of the movie, the music really worked well.
Yeah.
The voice acting in there too was, I thought that those guys did a really good job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I will say, my biggest movie going regret this year is probably not seeing this in IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
And to say I hated not seeing a movie in 3D should say something about the visuals of the movie.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have added a whole other layer to the movie that
I
feel like I missed out on. And I think this movie should win Best Animated Feature this year at the Oscars.
I do too.
Yep. So what was your number 9?
My number 9 was Black Klansman.
Okay. I finally got around to seeing it.
Yeah. So what'd you think?
I loved it. I thought it was really good. It's not in my top 10, but it is great. The performances are awesome.
Yeah.
The story is really interesting. Yeah.
I really liked how they were able to take such a, and here's the thing too. I am not a Spike Lee fan.
Okay.
And so that surprised me alone how much I liked this movie. But I thought he did a really good job of taking really such a serious subject matter and making you feel the levity of it, but also finding humor in there too.
Yeah. Well, so it's not, this other movie isn't in my top 10, it might be in yours, but Green Book, I think where it falls short is you don't quite feel the sense of danger that you should feel in that movie. Like I feel like with Green Book, which I enjoyed a good bit, it's about, you know, a black musician traveling through the South, and except for a couple of instances, he doesn't have anything too terrible happen to him. Whereas in this movie, you feel that sense of imminent danger. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is the difference in having a black filmmaker make a movie about these things and a white filmmaker making a movie about these things, is that the black filmmaker gets why,
that's fair.
Why, yeah. what that feeling of imminent danger is like in a way that I don't think a white filmmaker can truly ever understand. Just like a white person can never truly understand what it's like to be a person of color. I think it's the same with a white filmmaker. They can't fully understand that experience. And I think that's where Green Book falls short, where Black Klansman does much better. And that, and making Topher Grace a good actor alone, make Black Klansman a really, really great movie, I think. Because I am not a Topher Grace fan, but I thought he did great in this movie as David Duke.
Much better than as Venom.
And much better than the real David Duke. He's an asshole.
Right.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. Your number 8, I guess? Is that where we're at?
Yeah. Well, I mean, my number 8, I think tackles the issue of race and class in a way that hit me a little bit more than Black Klansman.
Okay.
And I thought was creative and weird and fun. Not to say fun to talk about race, but like it took a really interesting spin on it. And that was Sorry to Bother You.
Okay.
Have you seen that? Did you see it?
Yeah, we did. Talk about
okay.
That.
Yeah, we did. We
it did not make my list though.
I thought it was so innovative, and like I said in our review, it takes such a turn about midway through the movie.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe a little bit more than midway through the movie, where it gets super weird in a way that I think would lose, and probably did lose, a lot of audiences. But I loved it. I thought it was crazy, and I left the movie theater thinking, what the fuck was that, in a great way.
Well, yeah, that was one of the big things that I think that we kept repeating, was like, it was such a what the fuck did I just see kind of movie. But yeah, in a good way.
Yeah, I thought it executed that weirdness in such an amazing fashion that left me very happy.
Yeah.
But also left me thinking, you know, like, why did the filmmaker make that choice? Why? What does all that mean? So I don't want to spoil anything because I feel like that's a movie that a lot of people still haven't seen.
Yeah.
But just watch Sorry to Bother You. The performances are
outstanding. Well, I was just going to say that too. Like, that's one of my favorite Tessa Thompson performances of the year too.
And Lakeith, what's his last name? The star of the movie.
Yeah, you're right with the first name. I can't remember the last name.
He is like best actor level in this movie. The fact that he's not getting mentioned, the fact that this movie isn't getting mentioned in any kind of awards talk.
Is it just too out there, do you think?
I think that might be it. Honestly, I think that ending and the turn this movie takes may make people not take it seriously enough. Yeah. But the performances are truly like best of the year level. Tessa Thompson, amazing.
Armie Hammer.
Yeah. It kind of makes me mad that this movie isn't getting more attention right now. I think that attention is being given to Black Klansman, which is a great movie, but I think this one for me is above it.
I think Black Klansman is just more safe.
It is. It is a more safe movie, which Spike Lee is not known for doing.
I know, right? So that when you're going up against,
that's a testament to how weird Sorry to Bother You is, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
So my number eight,
yes,
is Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay, it's my number six.
Okay,
yeah,
It, you know, talking about what was it, Happy Time Murders? After seeing that, and then going into this, like I said when we were talking about Happy Time Murders, I mean, it redeemed Melissa McCarthy for me.
Well, yeah. And you're not a big Melissa McCarthy fan anyway.
Not really.
So the fact that this is in your top 10 at all, should say.
Her performance and honestly, Richard E. Grant, I loved him in this movie.
Yeah. So the Golden Globes. Well, if you're listening, the Golden Globes have already happened. So you know what happened. We don't yet. We're recording before they happen. But I really want Richard E. Grant to win. That's one of my biggest hopes for Golden Globes night and for Oscar night for that matter. Cause I'm sure he'll be nominated for that as well. And I love both of them in this movie. I love their banter with each other. I do think I love his character just a little bit more.
I think I gave my slay to Melissa McCarthy because of the whole like,
not liking her.
Yeah. I mean, and getting that performance out of, but really he
steals the movie.
He really does.
And it's just this movie inspired. Well, no, Star is Born inspired it, but this movie further confirmed the, where should a drag queen fit in a movie category that we created. The queer representation in this movie, I thought was done very well.
See, and that was one of the best things about this movie is that the two main characters are gay, but the movie isn't
about that. Yes. Which was so cool and refreshing, especially like any movie about gays in the 90s is solely about them being gay.
Right. Whereas, solely about AIDS.
Right. Or something terrible. And this wasn't, although it did get to that a little bit at the end, but this movie was about two people.
Right.
And they just happened to be gay. And that was awesome. And I loved it. And the dialogue was so good. The screenplay alone was outstanding.
Yeah. I really can't wait for this one to hit iTunes or Netflix or whatever. Yeah. Like, I really want Pete to see this.
Yeah. He hasn't seen it.
No.
Oh, what a jerk.
I know. I went and saw that one by myself.
Oh.
Okay. Although there was a cutie sitting next to me, all right. Number seven.
So my number seven is a little bit of a cheat.
Okay.
For all awards purposes, it came out in 2017, But for actually seeing it purposes, it didn't come to Ohio, or I feel like most American movie screens.
Like it had limited release or something right. at the end of 2017 for right. awards.
For awards purposes. And it won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Movie last year. And I think it's better than what's going to win the Academy Award this year, which is Roma. But the movie that is my number seven is A Fantastic Woman.
Okay.
It is such a beautiful movie.
See, now, if I knew we were playing by those rules, I would have had Call Me By Your Name
No. Because Call Me By Your Name, I don't care what you say, was more widely available in 2018 or 2017.
Didn't come here until January.
Well, I don't care.
Anyway.
But yeah, I love A Fantastic Woman. I can't remember the actress's name. I should have looked at it. I should have done any amount of research before doing this episode, but the actress, in the main role who is actually trans right. in real life, who plays the trans character in the movie, she is amazing. And the fact that she wasn't nominated for a Best Actress Oscar is robbery and truly makes me angry. But that movie is beautiful. It's so well done. It breaks your heart, but it also just illustrates just what kind of difficulties and things that can happen when you're trying to live that trans life, which again, I am a cisgender man. I cannot relate
right.
at all. But this movie helps at least shed some light on that experience in a way that is beautiful and moving and heartbreaking all at the same time. And for that, I really did love it. It's one that will definitely stick with me for a long time.
Yeah. Still haven't seen that one. I need to remember to add that to my list.
I mean, I know it's hard for a lot of people hate seeing foreign language movies where you have to read subtitles. But again, I just saw Roma recently, and Roma's good, but like Roma, I'm very aware that it's a foreign language movie. I distinctly remember reading the subtitles as the movie was going along. This movie, I remember the feelings I felt,
yeah,
and the emotions and the imagery much more than I remember reading text on a screen. And I think that's a testament to how great this movie was.
I'll just wait till Laverne Cox does the American remake.
Oh my God. Anyway.
All right. So my number seven is A Quiet Place.
Okay. A Quiet Place is my number four.
Oh.
Yes.
Just such a good surprise.
Oh my God. Of a movie. Yes.
It's one of those where I feel like, especially after seeing Bird Box.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You can see where a movie like that could have gone wrong.
And should have. Really. I mean, nothing about the track record of John Krasinski made me think that this movie was going to be good.
Right.
And it was that first movie of this year where I was like, if I have to see this trailer one more time for what's probably going to be a terrible movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull my hair out.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
It's so good. And, you know, and before seeing the movie too, you could have been forgiven to think, well, Emily Blunt's only in it because she's married to him.
Right.
You know, and doing him a favor or something like that. But then, you know, after seeing it and then finding out, you know, she really wanted that role, it's just the performances are so good. And even from the kids.
Oh, I mean, yeah, the kids,
especially the deaf daughter,
they carry their weight very much in this movie.
Right. Yeah.
It's yeah. I think,
and I know how you feel about kids.
Yeah. I hate them. All of them. In fact, one of the reasons this movie is so high on my list is it features a very prominent child death very early in the movie. One of my favorite child death scenes of the year. That's not an Oscar category is beyond me. But no, this movie is way better than it has any right to be. I mean, whereas Wrinkle in Time was had every advantage and was a train wreck. This movie had every disadvantage a movie could possibly have. I mean, it was basically a silent film,
right?
Which I don't know if you've noticed, but in 2018 is not very in vogue anymore. John Krasinski, again, has not had a great track record when it comes to his post office work.
Right.
And by office, I mean the show, not like a cubicle or anything.
Which if it's, it, this didn't turn out, he could have wound up with
one. You never
one.
Know. Yeah. It just, it shouldn't have worked, but it was every step of the way executed so well, from the way they use the concepts to the creature design. I mean, I just remember being in the theater and being so self-conscious of any little noise
right
coming out of me, because the movie had the entire audience that great.
Yeah, it was a very visceral experience.
Yes. Like it's rare to be in a movie and feel that way.
And you could tell too, like, yeah, people were like opening up their bag of gummy worms.
Oh, I'm
or
so
something.
Glad I didn't have any snacks. I'm so glad I didn't have snacks in this movie, Mike, because yeah, I could tell too. There were people like slowly opening,
which is almost worse.
Yeah.
Just,
but
the
fact that this movie had that much of an effect on the atmosphere of the movie going experience was so cool.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Oh, so good. Yeah. Are we on to, so that was your number six?
That was my number seven.
Seven. So my number six, your number which six. We already talked about, is Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Okay.
So it's your number six.
Green Book.
Okay. Hey, good movie. Really good movie.
Yeah.
But great for you.
Yeah. I mean, I was on such a high when I came out of that movie.
Yeah.
And I think part of it too was just like, I may have mentioned this in our review, but just, as a, such a music lover that I am too, just like, I loved that aspect of the movie almost as much as, you know, the story of the characters. And, I did really feel that relationship that they were building, you know?
Sure.
I totally get your point though, that had a black director made this movie, then maybe it would have hit on a little bit more. Cause I think that was a common criticism of the movie, that it was a little more forgiving of the '60s than it should have been.
Yeah. It for me, it just romanticized that time period a little more than I think it should have, considering the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
But what does make it a really good movie, and why I can't blame you for putting it in your top 10 at all, is Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen are just outstanding.
Yeah.
They're great actors, and them getting to play off each other for this movie with the very meaty roles they are given is great to watch. I mean, it's
and you know,
beautiful.
It was another thing too, like finding out afterwards how long the actual people remained friends throughout the rest of their lives and stuff like that.
Although there's been a lot of controversy about that. Like,
oh, has there?
Oh, the musician, I forget his name, but his family has disputed that and
really
and said they were not that close.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
You haven't? That's... Yeah. Apparently that's been a thing.
That's sad.
Yeah. But, here's what I'll say about Green Book. I think Green Book would work better as a play.
Okay.
I just think you make a play of this movie and it sweeps all the Tonys and gets all
that.
The love.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know if it translates as well to a movie as it would to a play. And I think I can see them making a big Broadway play out of this, because it's got that musical number or composition to it.
Right.
And
they could
how
add
meaty
a little bit
those
more to
lead
that.
Roles are.
Yeah.
I think, I do think that.
The most part, it's a two person cast as far as the majority of it goes. So
yeah, everyone else is just kind of like in and out of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Translate.
So I think if they ever made it into a play, I think it would do very, very well. As a movie, it's solid. It's really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Just not quite there for me.
All right. What's your number five? Now we're getting into the top five.
My number five, I'm sure it's probably higher on your list, but for me, is Black Panther. I think Black Panther was obviously a huge culturally relevant movie. It, one of our very first discussions when we were talking about this show,
yeah,
was, are we going to start it in time to review Black Panther? And we just didn't quite feel prepared to get things launched in time to do that. And looking back on the year, I think that's one of the biggest regrets probably of the show. It's your number one, isn't it?
Ryan, somehow I forgot to even put Black Panther on my list.
Mike, you didn't put Black Panther on your list?
No, it's not even on here.
Wow. That's troubling. Mm-hmm. Do you need to reevaluate your list?
No, I mean, I'm not going to knock anything off for it now, but I'm glad it's on yours.
But, you just had that look as I was talking about, like,
it's because I'm like, fuck,
but Black Panther, and maybe it's cause we didn't talk about it.
Could be
in time, but it was, such an important movie. I feel like I could see it winning the Best Picture Oscar in an upset if
it actually gets nominated.
No, it's gonna get nominated. Okay. I would be shocked. There will be riots in the streets if it doesn't get nominated. I think it's been set up. It's gonna get nominated. I could see it winning if A Star Is Born falters at all. Like, if A Star Is Born somehow loses to something else at the Golden Globes, for example, and just starts to get some negative buzz. Roma is not really, you know, with it being a foreign language film, may not catch on with as many people. All the other movies could. So Black Panther could fall. And I would say rightfully so, because it is so well done. It of all the Marvel movies, it feels the least like a superhero movie and more like a, you know, dramatic movie about this country and its people and kind of, I don't know, just the culture that is surrounding it in a way that I thought was very important. I mean, and it gets into a lot more topics about, you know, cultural pride, especially, I mean, to call it for what it is, like African pride and being proud of your blackness, which again, I'm fully white and have been for my entire life. So I can't personally relate to that, but I am so proud that we have something that, you know, the black community can look at and see representation in this way.
Oh,
that
sure. I mean,
me,
as a white person,
my entire life, I've been able to look up to almost every single superhero and every single cultural icon and think that could be me.
Yeah.
To have that kind of character, I think, is so important. And not only that, but to have it done so well. I mean, yeah, we've had Blade and Wesley Snipes was Blade, but you just rolled your eyes at me, which says how culturally relevant that was.
Let's
this
not forget Spawn.
Right. It's not that this was a black superhero. It was that this was a movie where almost every single character was black and that was portrayed as something to be proud of.
Right. They had to rescue the white people.
Not that, but that, like, that was something to be proud of.
No,
whereas, like, there were superheroes that happened to be black before, but that wasn't such a big part of their identity. Whereas in this movie, it was.
Yeah.
But more important than any of that, this movie was super well made.
I mean, it was.
And Michael B. Jordan,
I
haven't even mentioned, as Killmonger, one of the best Marvel villains.
Yeah. Because it's even hard to I mean, yes, he was the villain of the movie, but you kind of understand where he's coming from. And like,
which every great villain, you should
feel
that
way. I was just
going
to say that. Like, that's what makes some of the best villains. Absolutely.
And definitely, if not the best Marvel villain, definitely, for me at least, the hottest Marvel villain. Like, even with all those stupid little dots all over his body, like, he was looking.
Still wouldn't say no.
I would not. I would have been rooting for him in that little battle between him and Black Panther. But anyway, yeah, I love that movie.
So that was your number five?
That was my number five.
Okay. My number five is Bumblebee.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, so you have to understand that, like, when I was a kid, Transformers and Star Wars were neck and neck as far as things that I loved.
Okay.
And that 1987 animated Transformers movie, like, changed my world. And so when they started making these live action movies, I had such high hopes, and I really liked the first one, and they just kept getting worse and worse. But everything about this Bumblebee movie restored my faith in the brand and the ability to make a good version of the Transformers on the big screen. And I loved Haley Steinfeld in this movie. I loved her in Edge of 17.
Okay.
And just loved her in this too. And I don't know. It's like, I'm so excited now again to see where they go with the Transformers.
Sure. I don't care at all about Transformers.
I know you don't.
I am very happy that there's been a movie made that I don't feel repulsed at the thought of seeing, which is the nicest thing I could say about a Transformers
movie. Like, if you're on a plane and it's on, sure.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no, I'm not going to watch it. But I'm glad that one was made that seems to be good for people.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I bet I would like it if I watched it.
I think you would.
I'm not going to.
I know you're not, but I think you would. All right, number four.
I already said my number four. It's A Quiet Place.
Okay.
So what's your number four?
A Star Is Born.
Okay, that's actually my number three.
Okay.
So
pretty close there.
Yeah.
This is it's a movie that could have very easily been number one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you know, and when we did our review of it, we gushed all over it at that time too. The interesting thing is though, is that, so now that I've seen it multiple times, like when we reviewed it, I gave it 3.5 reels. And I honestly think if I were to rate it now, it would have been four.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I was trying to tell you that at the time.
I know. I was still in my, I can't give out that many fours phase, but,
we all go through that phase.
I know. I love the, and I listened to the soundtrack so much. I took the soundtrack from Apple Music and like took out all the, have you listened to the soundtrack at all?
No.
Okay. So the soundtrack is like 32 tracks.
That's what you said when we reviewed it.
Yeah. So I went through and like basically made a playlist then and took out like all the dialogue tracks.
Okay.
Just listening to it then, just the music, and it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't listened to the whole soundtrack, but I still listen to Shallow a lot, and it gives me goosebumps every single time. I just, that song hits me. And this movie was on my most anticipated of the year list. And back when we talked about, this was before we saw a trailer, this was only when I saw that, I happened to see it was getting made and I saw the names associated with it.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I thought this is going to be either one of the best movies of the year, or this is going to be an absolute train wreck. And it makes my heart and my soul so happy to see that not only do I love it, but it is getting
so much love,
so much love. It is right now, I would say, the front runner to get Best Picture at the Oscars. And the front runner for many other awards.
Yeah.
It makes my heart so happy. I love this movie. It's so good. Gaga is incredible.
And we're Gaga for Gaga.
I know. And I'm just so excited to see what more Bradley Cooper does behind the camera.
And the musical choices for this movie too. Like, you know, I love gay pop, but you know, classic rock is really like my style of music. And the music choices that they made for this, like, if I didn't know that that was Bradley Cooper doing, I would listen to some of those songs just on the radio that are some of like just the songs that he did.
I mean, the mere fact that we're talking about how much we want to listen to Bradley Cooper instead of look at Bradley Cooper,
right,
should tell you how good this movie is.
I know.
Because, yeah.
Because I do like to look at Bradley Cooper, too. I mean,
who doesn't?
Right.
So, yeah, this is, I think this and Black Panther are going to be the two movies that people remember most when they think of 2018.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think these are the two movies that people are going to think that's what 2018 was all about, because of how many people saw them and how important they felt. And maybe Avengers to some extent, but I think the whole Avengers being spanned between this year and 2019, I think it makes it feel a little, and because it's part of this larger cinematic universe, I think it makes it feel less bound to one year.
Yeah.
Although Black Panther is also bound to that same cinematic universe, but I think those are the two movies that people will forever associate with 2018.
You know what's funny though too, like going back to Black Panther, like sometimes I kind of forget that we first saw him in Civil War.
I don't. I always remember that because, and I think that was good because you didn't have to fully introduce the character
yeah.
in Black Panther. And I thought that helped this movie that we already had an introduction to him. Almost like they almost knocked out his origin story in a separate movie, which is brilliant.
Yeah. And just gets people then antsy to know more about him. And,
exactly.
Yeah. All right, so you gave your four. That was my four. I gave my three.
Well, no, I gave my three, which was A Star Is Born. Well, your four was my three, and then you already gave your three, which was
Spider-Man.
Okay, so now we're on to my two.
Okay,
which I still think I don't think you've seen yet, but it's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
No, I still haven't seen it.
I freaking love that movie, and it's so good. I'm mad that it's not getting more appreciation. I'm mad that Bird Box is getting
more attention,
more love and attention.
I don't know if it's love that Bird Box is getting,
but it is. I mean, it's been seen by so many people. It's so memed. Yeah. And I get why. I get the whole blindfold.
Did you see that
thing.
Picture that I sent you today?
I did. That's the thing. There's a million memes.
Right.
That are going around about Bird Box, but I'm mad that Ballad of Buster Scruggs isn't more of a cultural conversation. I mean,
because it's a better movie.
It is. And I feel like maybe if it had been released theatrically instead of on Netflix, I think it would have gotten more love. I think this is an example where Netflix maybe hurt the movie instead of helped it.
Well, and that's the thing too, is like, yeah, I mean, I guess Golden Globes was able to include it in the nominations, but if it wasn't in any theaters, the Oscars are going to completely ignore it.
I don't know. But I thought it was so well done. As far as being like a compilation of several, you know, small features, an anthology.
Yeah.
Each part, I think, appeals to different kinds of people. Each one can stand on its own as a short film that doesn't even need the rest, but together they just are some of the most beautiful imagery from this year. Some of the most interesting acting I've seen. It's just so good. And I, it's one that I love it as an anthology because I can go back and watch individual segments mm-hmm. at any time.
Was segment directed by the same person, or
it was all directed by Joel and Ethan Coen?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, it's all Coen brothers.
Gotcha.
But they feel like they could be directed by different people because they all exist so separately. And each one I love for a different reason. I mean, man, it's so good. And I wish more people would see it.
Yeah.
And that may be one of the reasons it's even elevated above a few other movies, is because by making it my number two, I'm hoping more people will be like, whoa, like maybe I should see this. But I just freaking love this movie. It's so good. So, so good.
Well, I need to make sure I add that to my, it's in my queue and I've even downloaded it. You know how Netflix will let you download. I've got it downloaded on my phone. Cause I was like, if I'm stuck with some time or something like that, I would like try and watch a segment, as it seems like the kind of movie that would be good then to watch a portion of it when I can. And
which I watched, you know, you're a big fan of the Movie Bears. You've been on their show a few times. I watched them review it because I loved it so much and I wanted to watch people talk about it. And they didn't really like it that much. And it really made me mad. You should tell them that Ryan is very mad at them.
Ryan
for not
is
liking.
Mad at you.
But because I loved it. It was so good. I don't, words can't describe. I'm just so happy that I saw that movie this year. So with that, what is your number two? Oh, yeah. Avengers.
It was Avengers.
Yep. I think we have the same number one.
We'll see.
I'll say this about just my number one movie in general, because last year my favorite movie of the year was Baby Driver. And typically I feel like my favorite movie of the year is, and this, my list truly is my favorites. It's not necessarily like the most prestigious. It's not. And usually my number one movie, it feels very personal to me. Like last year I loved Baby Driver. It's the movie I saw in theaters more than any other movie. The energy that movie gave off made me feel so good and made me so happy. And that's how I felt about this movie. This movie, that's my number one this year. I saw it in theaters more than any other movie. I think it's the movie I will see the most of any movie I saw this year on repeat viewings. It's the movie that made me happiest. I cry every time I've seen it. And it's Love, Simon.
Aww.
I love Love, Simon so much. It's so funny and fun. It's lighthearted. Do I think it should get Oscar love? Not necessarily. It's not that type of movie, but it's the movie that like means the most to me and makes me most happy. And
yeah, I mean, as soon as it came out on video, I bought it and I've watched it several times.
Yeah, it's what movies, it's what I want when I watch a movie is to just feel that connection, to feel that humanity. And yeah, as a gay man, I connect to that story more than other stories.
I mean, my number one was Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Shut up.
No, it was Love, Simon.
Yeah. I mean,
big shock.
And I think that, I don't know, I haven't seen the numbers, but I think that's still our most listened to episode.
It is. It's. It
I mean,
is.
So you so all
out there. So
it's
resonating with other gays.
Yeah, you all out there probably agree or think very highly of it as well. I mean, it's just so
or just
good.
Loved hearing what we had to say about it.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, earlier when we were talking about Can You Ever Forgive Me, we talked about how nice it was to see characters and it wasn't about them being gay. This movie is totally about him being gay. That's the point of the movie. But it did it in a way that felt fresh, that felt unique, that felt genuine.
Well, and so many coming out stories involve somebody who then is rejected by their parents or whatever. You know, this gave us a positive story that, yes, it's not, that doesn't happen for everybody.
Yeah.
But it gives people hope.
Which is funny because the negative criticism that I've heard about this movie is from other gays, not even movie reviewers, but just from other gays, is I don't like how easy it made it look. Well, there's a million movies that make coming out look terrible.
Like, right. Right.
There's a million of those movies. They all exist. We've seen that story. It was nice to see us a movie that feels one, more modern.
Yeah.
And two, just gives kids that hope that,
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Duhamel on Grindr.
Right. But that gives kids that hope that, you know, if they are their true authentic selves, it can all work out. And even if it doesn't for them, there are people that will love them.
Right. But I think that's important for kids to see that you do have the possibility of finding out that you're just fine.
Well, and even if you don't get that approval from your own parents or people in your life, just watch this movie and hear it from Jennifer Garner.
Right. She can be your surrogate.
Oh my gosh. That, I mean, that speech that she gives alone is probably my favorite movie moment.
Like, I still want my mom to see this movie.
Yeah.
Like, even though, you know, she's been fine.
Yeah.
I'd still love her to see this movie. And for one, I'd like to say, because if you were more like her back then, I probably would have come out sooner.
You wouldn't even have grandkids.
Right? If you'd been a really nice woman, you wouldn't even have grandkids.
How conflicted would she feel about that statement? I regret nothing. But it's just, you know, and throughout the year, I kept thinking, surely something's going to bump this, because that movie came out so early in the year.
I know. I kept thinking the same thing, too.
I kept expecting something to knock it out. But like I said, it's my favorite movie this year. And it nothing really came close to touching it as far as it being my favorite.
Yeah. It's just it strikes that personal chord.
Yeah.
And it's so feel good that sometimes, you know, that I think that gets a bad rap, a feel good movie sometimes, you know, but it just makes me feel good every time I watch it.
Yep. Yep. And Nick Robinson is beautiful and fun to look at. And his love interest from the end of the movie was actually just a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay. Yeah. So
So it was great seeing him on screen again. And he is even hotter now.
Keenan Lonsdale.
Yes.
With
his Australian accent that he has in real life.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I didn't realize, because, you know, he's also been on The Flash.
I would love to see him Flash.
Yeah, he plays Kid Flash on there. Mm. And he just posted a picture from New Year's Eve saying that he had his very first New Year's Eve kiss and he was proud to
And it wasn't me?
And it wasn't you, I'm sorry.
I'm bitter.
It was another boy, but
that's it. Love, Simon is dead to me.
Sure. All right. Well, I don't know. Anything else we want to...
That's it. That's our list.
That's it. So next week, the next episode, we're not talking about a specific movie again. I think we're talking about our most anticipated for 2019. Aren't
we? We're going to look ahead.
Yeah.
We'll have the Golden Globes to talk about.
True. Yeah.
And Academy Award nominations to talk about.
Yeah. And we'll give a quick then kind of what we're looking forward to.
Yeah. So we're going to start looking ahead. We're calling it season two of Real Gay Movie Show 2019.
I think that'll actually be our season finale.
Okay. So that's our season finale. So looking ahead to the coming year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be exciting. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, if you haven't already, become a real friend and follow us on Twitter at Real Gay and Instagram at Real Gay Movie Show. Like our page on Facebook, and wherever you listen, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify, please subscribe and give us some feedback. You can send us questions or comments to realgaymovieshow@gmail.com. So from me, from Ryan, from the entire cast and crew of A Real Gay Movie Show,
which is you and me.
Have a real gay day.